invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. As I mentioned, we're going to be beginning a series through the book of Proverbs this year and be touching on that both in the morning and the evening. We continue with Colossians in the morning, but from time to time, Proverbs will break through into the morning as well. So Proverbs chapter 1. How many in the course of their Christian life and instruction in churches have heard the advice of reading a proverb a day for the months? Okay. All right, great. How many have actually done that? Okay. All right, good. All right, that's good advice. Proverbs is a great book that has much wisdom for life. And as we work through this, I hope that we can get a better handle not only on how to interpret Proverbs, but the instruction for life that we find there. I'm going to just read verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Basic outline of the book of Proverbs, the passage that I just read there, verses 1 through 7, is the introduction. And as we saw last week in the morning, verse 7 is the theme of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then beginning in verse 8 of chapter 1, going right through chapter 9, Proverbs is set up not as you think of Proverbs normally, with just, you know, short sayings that are kind of disconnected from each other, but verse 8 of chapter 1 through chapter 9 is either a father's instruction to his son, and there are proverbs that are given in there, but it's more kind of like a father talking to his son and giving instruction, and also wisdom's call. You'll see there's passages in those chapters where wisdom is personified. It's as though wisdom is speaking and is giving advice and calling people to follow her. And then from Proverbs 10 right to the end, at that point, pretty much all the way through, you have these one-verse sayings or proverbs. And sometimes they're linked by themes. There are some interpreters that say that they should be linked together and you should be able to find them. And then you might read their commentary and they say, this is how they're linked together. And you say, well, I don't see that. other times you say, you do see it. So sometimes there seems to be themes there, but usually not. In fact, there's one translation of the Bible that separates all the verses with a space from chapter 10 on, so that they're taken pretty much individually. And most of those from chapter 10 on are written by Solomon or compiled by him, and others are attributed to other men or just the sayings of the wise. In this introduction, we see that the purpose of Proverbs is to give instruction for life. And as I mentioned last Sunday morning, that this is the first Sunday school lesson that I taught as a youth pastor 20 years ago, and as I taught through the book of Proverbs. And I explain it to the kids this way, that the book of Proverbs gives skill for living, gives you the instruction you need to handle life, skill for living and discernment. And it's written according to verse 4. It's written for those who are vulnerable, those who are uninformed, those who are willing to admit that they're simple. Say, you know, apart from you, Lord, I'm not ready to handle life. I need your instruction. And it's written in such a way that these people like us, like you and me, will avoid poor choices and the consequences that go along with those choices. Okay? Life is about choices, the choices that you make and where they lead and where they take you. And having skill for living and discernment is making wise and right choices. So this book is written for those who are in a position of needing that. But it's also written for those who have experienced life for a while. In verse 5, we see the idea that the wise people, those who have experienced and have developed a level of skill, if you're truly wise, you'll keep coming back to the book of Proverbs. You'll realize that you still need the instruction. You still need the guidance for life, whatever stage you might be in. And the idea of instruction in Proverbs takes the meaning of the word discipline or correction. Many times the counsel of the book of Proverbs is very blunt. It's very, very much to the point. There's stark contrasts. And I describe it like sometimes, you know, the slap in the face counseling, the, you know, wake up and, you know, listen to this. And you have some really extreme examples, even in these early chapters. You have the description of falling after sin, falling into sin, like being caught by a trap and being ensnared by a trap. You're those who do that are described as being as stupid as birds, or because at least are stupider than birds. At least birds will see the trap and avoid it, but you don't. Wisdom is seen as laughing. You fall into calamity, and it's kind of written in such a way so that it gets your attention. There's going to come a time in your life where, because you've made wrong choices, and it's as though life is just laughing at you, and it's supposed to get your attention. Like, I don't want that to happen to me. I need to listen. Sin is described as being chains that bind you and hold you fast. And there are a number of places, again, where Proverbs just comes right out and just says, stop being stupid. Stop making stupid choices. Make wise choices. The key verse is verse 7, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I covered that last week. But just to emphasize here that moral living and skillful choices, even if you could make skillful choices, if it's built apart from reference to the true and living God, then that misses the point. If you don't have a relationship with the true and living God, you could read this instruction, and there are people who follow some of the advice in this book, yet they have no relationship with God. They have a level of skill for living, but they don't have the fear of the Lord, and that misses the point, because that is the foundation that all this instruction carries true meaning. Then verse 6. Getting this instruction, this skill, is really important. We've seen that. We need it because we're simple. It's where wisdom is found. It's so we can make right choices. But the way this wisdom is presented is presented in the form of Proverbs. And it's described here as dark sayings or riddles. It's presented in a way of statements that are short, and it takes time to stop and think and say, what is this talking about? And one of the strengths of the book of Proverbs is that it is written in a way that you're not supposed to just whip through it a chapter a day and just kind of, I got through it. Maybe it would be better to do a proverb a day, because it's written in such a way as you're supposed to bounce it around for a while, think on it. What is this really? Look at it from a number of different angles. And so let's take a look at what a proverb is and how we can interpret one of these dark sayings or riddles. And from this point on, I'm going to draw from an outline, an article written by Dan Phillips entitled Dealing with Proverbs. And I found it very helpful in trying to understand how to handle proverbs. Some of the statements, you look at them, and as we'll see in a moment, if you press them too hard, it's not always a universal statement. We're going to see some of the proverbs. They're just that, proverbs. They're general statements. The book really is incredible. You read through it, and some of the statements just really cause you to reflect and just stop. Like Proverbs 11:21, be assured an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. You stop and think about it. An evil person will not go unpunished. You stop and reflect on the fact that in one way or another, God is in control. He knows what takes place. And yet you read through it, and some proverbs cause you to chuckle, like verse 22 of the same chapter. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. You can picture a pig with a ring in its nose, you know, and then you think of a beautiful woman without discretion, and you kind of get that comparison. Proverbs gives us a unique challenge, though, as we try to interpret it. Some have looked at the Proverbs and tried to use it like a book of formulas. If you do A, B will happen. Okay? Do A, B will happen. Others, it's like a decoder ring. If B happened, then you must have done A. For example, if you press that too hard, you can become really frustrated. If you're looking at it simply as, okay, here is a book of formula, here is a decoder ring to figure things out. Take the Proverbs, like the Proverb 15, chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. gentle answer turns away wrath. You say, well, I gave a gentle answer. I'm still getting wrath back. Wait, this doesn't work. Or you could press it this way in a wrong way. You could say, well, there is anger there. I must have stirred it up by speaking harshly. And so if you press this as a formula or as all these proverbs as statements that are absolutes, you can find yourself in trouble and get frustrated with them. So it simply doesn't do to read through the book of Proverbs in a hurry, as I said. We have to see the brief statement and try to unpack it. What is behind the statement? What is the proverb actually getting at? And if we do try to force the proverb to say everything, we will miss its point. It's not supposed to be a guarantee. It's not written to be an exhaustive statement on any subject. You read one proverb, you must not take that as an exhaustive statement on that subject. All right? It is just looking at a particular subject from one specific angle. And we need to recognize that. Proverbs are designed to drive one truth into our mind. It is, they're concise summary statements, and it's written in such a way to make a point vividly and so that we will remember it. And it's to make a point, one point. And we need to find out what that point is. One person has described it this way, that it is like the moral of a story without the story. All right. And so that's the challenge of trying to interpret a proverb. It's like the moral, but you don't have the story. And you're trying to figure out, okay, what is the truth that this proverb is getting at? And many of them you can read and quite easily say, okay, I can get this, but others are a little more difficult. And so, and try to understand how proverbs work. Let's see if we can write our own. All right. So we're going to write our own proverb tonight. And I'm going to do it. We're not going to do it all together. But I'm going to give you a story. And then we're going to come up with a moral to the story, which will be our proverb. And then we'll use that as an exercise to see how we can try to interpret proverbs. And hope it will be helpful as you go through Proverbs a chapter a day, or now maybe just a proverb a day, and try to work through it. Here's the story. And it's the account from Scripture. In Matthew 2, we read of the account of the wise men. And here are a group of men that God had graciously given a sign in the heavens to lead them to where Jesus Christ is, to lead them to his son. Somehow, we don't know, the Magi knew about the Messiah. And what led them to Israel was this supernatural sign in the heavens, a star that went before them. They either had little scripture or no scripture at all. And when they got to the area, they did not specifically know where to look. And so they turned to Herod. And Herod went to the scribes. And what is interesting, the scribes, unlike the wise men, who had very little scripture or no scripture at all, the scribes, history tells us that many of them had much of the Torah, if not all of it, memorized in Hebrew, right down to the smallest little mark. They knew the scripture. They knew it very well. And so Herod goes to these scribes and said, okay, what about the Messiah? Where is he going to be born? And without hesitation, they knew right away. Well, Micah 5:2, Bethlehem, Ephratah. That is where the Messiah is going to be born. And so the wise men get this direction. And armed with that one scripture, they took off in a hurry and they found the Messiah. They knew very little, but they took 100% of what they knew to heart and acted on it with everything they had. They had one verse. You'll find the Messiah in Bethlehem. And they took it and they went and they found the Messiah. But the scribes, they knew far more than the wise men. And they didn't trouble themselves to get up and just go the 30 minutes. It's about 4 kilometers from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, maybe around the loop and a little bit more. They had all the scripture memorized, and they knew, but they didn't trouble themselves to apply it and go see the Christ child. So the ones with one verse found the Lord, while those with everything never did. So if we're going to put that in proverb form, here's one way that we could do it. We could say, better is he who knows a little truth and believes it all than he who knows much truth and believes it little. All right, so that's one way to do it. Here's a more concise way, and this is the one we're going to use. All right, so we have the story. All right, we've got the moral, and here's the moral. Better to know a little truth and believe it deeply than to know a lot and not. Better to know a little truth and believe it deeply than to know a lot and not. So that's the proverb. Now, this isn't a proverb that appears in Scripture, okay? But if it were, and you were to come across this proverb, here's the exercise. You have the moral without the story. How would you interpret it? What is the point of that proverb? Better to know a little truth and believe it deeply than to know a lot and not. You might look at that and say, well, there's a proverb that's telling us it's not important to know things. Knowledge is unimportant. You don't have to learn much. What's really important is what you believe. Right? Or so you come at that and you say, okay, what is it? So how would we go about in figuring out what that proverb is talking about? We could look at its form. All right? In the form of our proverb, better to know a little truth and believe it deeply than not. Where is it? Should have this memorized by now. Better to know a little truth and believe it deeply than to know a lot and not. It takes the form of an evaluation proverb. Okay? Better A than B. And the aim of these proverbs is to highlight the best and wisest and most blessed course. Solomon sets up two choices, and he says, if you had these two choices, which one would you take? All right, so you look at what form is this taking? Here are some examples of some real proverbs. Not that ours isn't a real proverb, but a real scriptural proverb. All right? Proverb 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Then verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened oxen and hatred with it. Now, what's the intent of those proverbs? Are those proverbs saying that poverty is the way to go and a vegetarian diet, that's what it's all about? And that's the emphasis of those proverbs? No, we look at that evaluation, we can clearly see that the focus isn't on those things. Those are not being used for comparison. It forces us to ask, why is a little with the fear of the Lord better? And what is it that is so valuable about having a house filled with love? Here's another comparison, Proverbs. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. Now, what is Solomon saying here? Is he praising the life of a hermit? No. Go off to the desert place and that's the life. I mean, there, you've really found it. No, he's not. He's warning against marrying a particular kind of woman. And he's pressing vividly the truth. There are worse things than being alone. And so he's pressing that home. So we come to our proverb and we say, okay, what is our proverb teaching and how are we going to know? Is it showing that knowledge isn't that important? Is it saying that head knowledge is of little value and you should just aim at just learning a little and really believe what you learn? Or is it saying it's focusing on practical faith, that truth that you have must be held close to the heart and must be lived out? So how do we interpret Proverbs and how do we get beyond, you know, well, this is what it means to me. And here's some things that you can do. First of all, you can ask the author. Now, in our case, you can ask the guy who wrote the proverb and say, okay, this is what I meant. But we don't have that privilege. Solomon is dead, so we can't ask him. But we have the God behind the scripture that we can ask. And by asking, I'm not saying that we are asking God to give more revelation and somehow lessen the sufficiency of Scripture. But we are to do what Paul said to Timothy, the Lord give you understanding in all things, in 2 Timothy 1:7. And a wonderful prayer that I trust that you pray when you open the Scripture and read it, Psalm 119:18, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. So ask the author. Take time to get on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to understand your word. You have given me your spirit And as I read your word, help me to understand it. Ask the author. Secondly, remember that it is a proverb. Right? Remember that it's a proverb. Right? And don't press it beyond what it is intended to give just one point. Your mother says to you, a watched pot never boils. All right? And most kids have done this at some point if they've heard that. A watched pot never boils. They watch the pot. And, 5 minutes later, they say, well, you liar, yes, it did. Well, what was the point of that proverb? The point of the proverb was, you know, something that you're focused on, it just seems to take longer than it should. All right? And so if you can get busy doing something else before you know it, it will boil. And that's the point of the proverb. And we need to remember that proverbs are not set up to communicate all truth. It's to give one particular insight, one particular angle. We get ourselves into trouble when we try to make proverbs legal formulas and guarantees. For example, Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Someone that takes a rigid approach to the proverbs is going to press this in every direction that he can. Could say, this is the key to all relationships. You get your walk right with God and you will be right with everyone else. And if you're having problems in your relationships, then it's a given. You're not right with God. Because someone, what does the proverb say? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. If you have enemies that aren't at peace with you, then you have ways that don't please the Lord. Right? And so you can't press it that direction. You can't be that rigid on that. If we do that, those who tend to press proverbs that way would be those who would also do something like this. If there is friction in a marriage, then they could take it either direction. They might say, if there's friction in a marriage, it must be the man's fault, because if he were pleasing God, his wife would fall right in line. Or someone else may press it this way. Well, if there's friction in the marriage, it must be the woman's fault, because if she were submitting, there wouldn't be friction. And they make it rigid as opposed to trying to get a better handle on what the truth. And so as we look at our proverb, we're going to focus and try to say, okay, it is evaluating what is the one main point. And we're going to come to the point as we work through it. We're going to assume that it is not undermining the need for gaining knowledge, but rather, the proverb isn't so much about knowing truth, it's about believing the truth that one knows. Believing the truth that one knows. That the truth that you have, what are you doing with it? Is it affecting the way you live? The choices that you make? Another thing that we can do, in addition to asking the author and evaluating the proverb based on its form, is also to consider the context of what Solomon has written on the subject in the book of Proverbs. For example, the Proverbs 16:7, what I read before, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Rather than simply ripping that proverb out and forgetting what Solomon has said about friendship anywhere else, pull that proverb out, try to evaluate it, and as you wrestle, what is he talking about? Go to the book of Proverbs and say, does Solomon have anything else to say about friendship? Does Solomon's writing give any clue to understanding this? Does he think that godly and wise folks will always be popular and never have enemies? Is that what he says? Right? And evaluate it that way. And then also turn to the rest of Scripture. Not just the author of that proverb, but the rest of the Scripture. How does the general principle of proverb fit in with the rest of Scripture? Remember the interpretive principle that a Bible verse cannot mean what it cannot mean. And so if the direction you're going with this contradicts other parts of Scripture, you need to bring that in line with the other parts of Scripture. And so as you look at this, as you come to Proverbs and read through, that's why you say maybe a proverb a day rather than a chapter a day. And you say, well, this is hard work. This would take a lot of time, and that's the point. The point is, don't rush past the proverb. The point is, if you're really going to make this instruction, this correction, part of your life, stop and take the time to think on it. Figure it out. Work through it. In fact, if you read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, "My son, if you will lay up my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if you seek her and search for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Yeah, it is hard work. Think of the work of mining. The work of trying to dig and get treasure out of the earth. It takes work. And that's what Proverbs places before us. You want wisdom? It's here. It's here. You need to take the time to take these Proverbs, think on them, find out what they mean, and then the fear of the Lord, apply them to your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we have such a wonderful book as the book of Proverbs. As I think of the entire word that you have given to us, the various forms of instruction that we have, from the letters of the New Testament to the gospel accounts and, Lord, to the narratives of the Old Testament and the character studies to the Psalms, Father, the wisdom books, the book of Proverbs and the prophecies. Father, there is so much for us. And I pray that we who need the skill to handle life, that we who are simple, we who need to continue to come back to the wisdom of your word would be doing that. Give us hearts that are humble, and that our humble hearts are seen in the diligence that we're willing to give to seek to understand your word. And Father, we do pray. I pray for our church in large as a full congregation, but also for us individually, that you would open our eyes and show us wondrous things out of your law. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight and receive this instruction. Lord, there is a sense in which wisdom has called tonight. And we have a choice to make even as we face our day tomorrow. Will we make the choice of rushing off into that day with never taking time to stop and open your word and humbly look for instruction? Will we take a proverb with us and mull it over in our heart and mind and seek to make it part of our life? Lord, we know choices have consequences. And so if that is something that we throw off as not being needful or we're too busy to do it, then that's taking us a direction that is away from the fear of the Lord. And it's putting us in the direction, as Proverbs would say very starkly and very bluntly, the way of a brutish beast, the way of someone who is stupid, in the way of destruction. And so, Father, I pray that we would take this to heart and we would take your word and treasure it as we study and find your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.